Fieldhouse, certainly in the lower bowl. Everybody on their feet. While we've got a moment, let's pause 10 seconds to allow for stations to identify themselves here across the BMO Bucks Radio
Network.
You're
listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Tie game 104-104, a contest that has gone back and forth here down the stretch. The Bucks did not lead this game until this fourth quarter. But as this thing has played out, both teams battling, making one big shot after another. Back and forth we go. And a game that has seen now five lead changes and three ties. Chris Middleton, 28 points. That's the most he has scored all season long, including the regular season. But the Indiana Pacers trying to match him shot for shot as we make our way to the final stretch of this one. Pacers took 4 of 5 in the regular season against the Bucks and made some statement wins along the way against this Bucks team. There is no love lost, but the Bucks here in the postseason, they are the team with the experience. We'll see if that comes into play. Here's Pat Bev with the basketball. Sends out top to Portis. They're joined by Lillard, Middleton, and Lopez. Middleton, stutter step, dribble drive, working on Nesmith. Pulls up, contested shot, off the window. That one hangs on the rim and nestles its way through. It was terrific defense, but even better offense as those two Charleston, South Carolina natives continue to battle against each other. The Bucks go back ahead by 2, 3:37 to go. Halliburton fakes the pass, now hands to the trailing Turner, and Turner flushes it through. So there's the answer for Indiana. Tyrese Halliburton, 15 assists, matching his 15 points now. Tied at 106, 3:20 to go in the fourth. Here's Pat Bev, hands it off to Portis. Portis at the top of the circle, swivels a couple times, now to Middleton. Chris with the right-hand dribble, goes behind his back. Nesmith trying to hang with his mentor. Couple head fakes. Middleton shakes him, floats it up. That one rims in and out. Rebounded by Turner. It was a beautiful move, and it just looked like it was going to go down. As kind as the rim was on that previous shot, it was equally wicked on that one. Halliburton around the screen from Turner. He launches from three. High arcing shot. Bounces front iron. No good. Rebound pulled down by Portis. Off to Damian Lillard. Lillard running the other way. Pacers get back, so the Bucks will have to set up in the half court. 2:42 to go. 106-106. Lillard around the midcourt stripe. Around the Lopez screen. Gives it back to Brook. Brook drives inside. Scoops the shot up. No good. It was a wild shot. He got caught between ideas there. Now Nesmith has the ball pried free by Pat Bev, but it's picked up by Halliburton. 2:22 to play in the fourth. All tied. Siakam now top of the arc, working on Pat Bev. He pulls up, 17-footer, missed it short. Rebound ripped down by Bobby Portis, who comes away with what is his 18th rebound of the night. Lillard goes the other way, 2:06 to go. Dame on the left wing, defended by Nembhard. Gonna fire up a three, he got fouled. They're gonna say foul was on the floor though, so he will not get three shots, and they did have a foul to give. So fouled by Nembhard, his fourth personal. And I would argue that sure looked like he was going up with a shot. But they'll say the foul was before the shot. So inbound pass goes to Portis. Portis hands it off to Lillard. Lillard, top of the arc. Going to fire up another three. This one's on the way. Missed it. Rebound on the deck. Picked up by Siakam. He'll get it ahead to Halliburton. Halliburton has it on the left wing. Nothing settled in this one. 106-106 with a minute 42 to go. Tyrese Halliburton, top of the arc, defended by Beverly. He's going to pass the ball to the near wing. Nembhard fires away. Missed the shot, short on the three. Rebound corralled by Middleton. Could he stay in bounds? No. Locked the tight wire on the far side, but couldn't stay in. The Bucks have 7 players. Well, let's see here. Timeout is going to be called by one of these. I'm not sure whether it was Indiana. It was. Indiana spends the timeout, so they'll have 2 at their disposal, as will the Bucks with 90 seconds to go. We talk about experience. This Bucks team boasts 7 players with at least 60 career games played in the postseason coming in. 9 with over 30 games played. For the Pacers, they have 1 player with 30 or more playoff games. That is Pascal Siakam, who's played in 53 of them. Now, of course, for the Bucks, one of those seven players is unavailable. That's Giannis, who's played in 77 of them. But, boy, I'll tell you what, you're talking about a Bucks team that showed resolve and fight in a game that it looked like they were about to be run out of the building, trailed by 19 points at the end of the first quarter, and it felt like it could have been worse, especially with Damian Lillard having left the game late in that quarter with an apparent leg injury where he was not able to put pressure on the leg, went to the locker room, came back, and has not looked like he has lost a step. Now, Dame's shot has not been where he'd want it to be, just 6 of 19 from the floor, but his free throw shot has at 12 of 12. He's also got 7 assists to go with his 28 points in this game. It's going to come down to who blinks first. No one has scored in the last 2 minutes and 2 seconds of this game. It is playoff basketball, folks, rough and tumble. That's how these games are played this time of the year, and it has been a good one here tonight to start this triple header of playoff hoops on this Friday night. Dave Kane with you here on this Friday evening, opening up the first of two here at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Glad to have you with us. Indiana ball with Halliburton set to inbound. He will get it to Siakam. They're joined by Turner, Nesmith, and Nembhard. Portis out there trying to slow down Siakam. Got it to the corner. It was a dangerous pass, but somehow got it through to Turner. Now back to Siakam. He's at the top of the arc, going downhill at Portis. Portis swipes at it. Passes to Turner. Turner drives laterally. He has the ball knocked away out of bounds off of whom? They'll say Portis touched it last. Bobby Portis with a quick hands, pried it free with 7 to shoot for the Pacers. 1:14 to go in regulation. Inbound pass coming from Nembhard. Nembhard sends it out top. Turner will give it now to Nesmith on the left wing. Aaron Nesmith working on Middleton. Puts up a contested shot. Back iron bounces. No good. Rebound saved by Siakam, though. And the Pacers continue to get those offensive boards. Their 14th of the night. Nembhard's got it with 6 to shoot. He loses it on the deck, but gets it back. Scoops to the hoop. No good, but he was fouled, I believe, by Pat Bev. So Milwaukee's in the penalty, and after all that, the Pacers are going to get a chance to get points. It was terrific defense, but that good defense is wasted when you cannot get a hold of those missed shots. And there's a missed free throw from Nembhard. He's an 80% free throw shooter. Nembhard, 13 points tonight, 3 of 6 from distance. That was his first free throw attempt of the game. And knocks down the second to give his team a 1-point lead. 55 seconds to go now in regulation. 107-106, Pacers with the lead. Damian Lillard moves it ahead into the front court for the Bucks. He's got it on the near wing. Drifts out to the top of the arc. He's picked up by Nesmith. Puts the shot up off balance. Missed it short. He was drifting for the foul. Didn't get it. And the Pacers have the basketball. Dame has been relying on those free throws to get him points tonight. It's worked most of the time. But the last couple, it has not. And now Indiana with a chance to stretch the lead. Game clock and shot clock separated by 15 seconds. Halliburton launches from three. Missed it. Another offensive board. Siakam lays it in with the foul. Well, the post-mortem from this one, if the Bucks do not win tonight, will read offensive rebounds and second-chance points. Doc Rivers has challenged the ruling on the floor. And with this game currently sitting 109-106, the Bucks need to pray that they get this call.
Blocking foul, Milwaukee has called timeout to challenge.
So the blocking foul is under question. The problem is, well, you could get a charge conceivably. Let's see where Dame set. I don't think so. I think he's sliding a bit to his left. I think they're going to be hard-pressed to get this one overturned. Certainly worth the roll of the dice. But 30 second chance points off 15 offensive rebounds could spell the Bucks' demise in this game here tonight. And it will be a shame because the Bucks have battled as hard as you could possibly hope for without their two-time MVP and one of the top three players in the world, and Giannis, who was missing his 6th straight game, and it just about looked like Milwaukee was going to be able to walk out of here with a win.
After replay review, Lillard does not establish single guarding position prior to the start of the upward shooting motion. The challenge is unsuccessful. Milwaukee will charge the timeout, and they're out of challenges for the night. Play will resume with two free throws.
So a couple free one free throw, he says, or he said two. It's actually one. Three-point play opportunity, however. So Pascal Siakam, who's been pretty close to automatic at the line here throughout this series, but 73% for the regular season, will step to the line, try to make it a two-possession game. Bucks had some opportunities, but just candidly, we said, who's going to blink first? The Bucks had some shots. They didn't make them. Had some looks. Didn't make them. Pacers just kept hanging around. They didn't make theirs, but they got those offensive boards. And that has put them in a position to take a four-point lead with 19.8 seconds to go. And the Bucks now just one timeout at their disposal after losing that challenge. Both teams will sit with one timeout. Siakam to try to cap the three-point play, and he will not. He missed it. So it's still a three-point game. Middleton going the other direction for the Bucks. He's into the front court with Portis, Lillard, Lopez, and Beverly. Middleton drives inside, kisses the shot off the window and good with 9.3 seconds to go. That puts Chris at 30 points. Inbound pass, they got to get a foul. They do. Pat Beverly's going to commit his fifth on Nesmith here. So that will send Aaron Nesmith, 78% free throw shooter, to the line with 6.9 seconds to go. That was a pretty effective use of the foul right there. Not much time went off after Chris Middleton knocked down his 13th field goal. That actually put him at 32 points to go with his 9 rebounds and 5 assists. I didn't catch what the fans just saw that drew their ire. Maybe Pat Bev said something down low. That's always a safe guess. So here goes Nesmith at the line. First of two shots on the way. Trying to get this thing to a three-point lead again for his team. The first of two is up. It's good. Aaron Nesmith splashes it through. Started his career with the Boston Celtics, where he played his first two seasons, now in year two in Indiana. A chance to make it a three-point lead with 6.9 seconds to go, and the Bucks still with one timeout. Got to crash the boards here. You can see Lopez leaning in. Boxes out well, but the free throw's good. And the Bucks will spend their last timeout. Can they force overtime? They'll need a three-pointer to do it as the stoppage comes with 6.9 seconds on the clock. A game that the Pacers have led for most of it. However, in the second half, Milwaukee put on a furious charge. The defense started to dig in. We've seen four ties and six lead changes. We will need to see at least one more of each for the Bucks to have a chance tonight. These teams will turn around and play again on game four on Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Figures to be a good one, and of course the question that we've been asking for the last 2 weeks, will Giannis be available? He is in street clothes again here tonight. And once again, you wonder what this Bucks team would look like if they had Giannis. Well, it'll have to be a hypothetical question for at least a little bit longer. In the regular season, the Bucks were very good in clutch time until the late part of the year. They started to struggle. Indiana went 18-19 in clutch games. But in these games decided by 5 points or fewer inside of 5 minutes, the Bucks in their last 7 clutch games went just 1-6, shooting just 29% from the field in those games, 21% from three-point range in those games. We'll see what they can do here. They're going to need to dial up something special. Pat Bev to inbound. He'll send it with Lillard, Lopez, Portis, and Middleton on the floor. It's Nesmith, Siakam, Turner, Nembhard, and Halliburton for the Pacers. The inbound pass coming from Beverly. Lofts it to Lopez. Lopez hands to Middleton. Middleton on the outside. Fires up the three for the tie, and he hit it! He hit it with 1.4 seconds left! Cash Money Middleton to the rescue with a 30-foot three-pointer to tie this game at 111-111. Do you believe it? It is a stunned house here at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, where Cash Money Chris Middleton, a question mark whether he would even play tonight. A game time decision. Not only has he played, but boy, has he ever played tonight. 35 points, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. 3 three-pointers, none bigger than that one for the 12-year veteran out of Texas A&M and Charleston, South Carolina. What a shot. So fasten your seatbelts, folks. We are not done yet. Pacers, of course, will have a chance to advance the ball. They had one more timeout to use. So they have 1.4 seconds left to work with. And now Indiana will have a chance to inbound. Pacers have led for almost 45 minutes of this game in game time. The Bucks have led for 3.5 minutes of game time here tonight. So the inbound will come from Nembhard on the far side. He'll be working with Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam, along with Tyrese Haliburton. Of course, the Pacers need any kind of a score. Bucks are in the penalty. You cannot foul. Pat Beverly has 5 fouls. He's guarding the inbounder. Nembhard gets it to Siakam. He hoists up the 3 for the win, and it misses. We are headed to overtime here in downtown Indianapolis. Milwaukee will not go quietly into that good night. The Bucks battling, bruising, a knuckle buster of a game, have tied this game at 111 through 4 quarters of basketball. We will take a timeout, come back in a moment. Milwaukee thought for dead. Not so much. Chris Middleton had other ideas. 35 big ones for Cash Middleton. He knocks down the game-tying 3. We're back in overtime after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other drier, itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do you like Delta 8? It'd be cooler if you did. We proudly announce the Devil's Advocates have partnered with Herbal Aspect to bring your newest Delta 8 favorites, Devil's Gummies, exclusively at herbalaspect.com. Legal for consumption by adults, they may be mailed directly to your home. Always use Devil Radio at checkout to let Herbal Aspect know where you heard them. Order today for delivery. Devil's Gummies and Devil Radio exclusive specials only from herbalaspect.com, code Devil Radio.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Camps. Hey, this is Bobby Portis, aka the mayor, reminding you to do your civic duty and keep it locked right here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network. Go Bucks.
Speaking of Bobby Portis, he's got the basketball. The opening tip, won back by Lopez. We are underway in overtime in what has been a whale of a game here at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Milwaukee, 111. Indiana, 111. Bobby Portis out there with Middleton, Beverly, Lillard, and Lopez late in action. Just underway in our extra frame. Middleton misfires on a pull-up jumper straight on. He missed that one from 18. Pacers going the other way. Halliburton races ahead. Sends it to the trailing Siakam. A head fake from three. He drives in at Lopez. Now sends out top. Turner will hand it to Halliburton. Halliburton back to Turner. Turner pulls up. Elbow jumper off the mark. Rebounded by Middleton. In that fourth quarter, the Bucks outshot the Pacers 53% to 33%. As Middleton drives inside, Euro step in the lane, flips it up on the right hand and gets it to go. Cash money Middleton strikes again, 37 points, three off of his career high for a playoff game. Indiana going the other way. Halliburton comes to a stop, sends out top to Turner. Turner drives around Lopez, puts the shot up high off the window and good. Deadlocked again. Last overtime playoff game for the Bucks was game five last year against Miami. That one did not end well. The Bucks will hope to turn their fortunes around. In overtime this season, they were 2-2. The Pacers 0-1. This is only their second overtime game all year. Middleton around the Lopez screen. Sends back to Lopez. Lopez thought about the three. Instead now drives. Little floater on the run. Missed it. Had his own rebound. Knocked away from him. And picked up by Halliburton. Indiana with a chance to reclaim the lead. 113-113. 3:15 to go now in overtime. Tyrese Halliburton on the left wing, defended by Middleton. Works around the screen from Turner, back and forth. Middleton trying to stay with him. He has to pass it away. Turner passes up on a three. Lopez out on him. Three to shoot. Halliburton takes it into the paint, sends it to the corner. Last second three at the horn. That rims out. Rebound off of Indiana. It's going to be Bucks ball. At least that's the initial ruling. However, Carl Lane had another angle on it. Let's see what he has to say. They're going to give it to the Pacers. I think that's the right call. On first glance, I thought it went off Bobby Portis. So these offensive rebounds continue to be a problem. And, yeah, that was off Bobby's hand on the replay. So Indiana's going to have it with 14 to shoot, 2:54 to play in overtime, all tied. Inbound pass to Turner. Turner's defended by Lopez. He'll give to Siakam. Siakam's defended by Bobby Portis. Puts it on the floor, dribbles between the legs, has the ball knocked away for a moment. Now off to Halliburton. His three-pointer misses short, but another offensive rebound kept alive. These offensive rebounds are backbreakers. Middleton now out to defend on Halliburton. Halliburton on the left wing, sends out top. Siakam, Middleton seals him off one way, and now the other. He gets in the way of the shot. Siakam couldn't hit. Another offensive rebound. Nembhard comes away with it. The Bucks are playing lockdown defense. It doesn't matter, though. They can't get the misses. Halliburton on the near wing. Four to shoot now. He's got to go to work. Lillard's on him. He's going to take it to the right side. Fading and firing. He misses again. Another rebound is up for grabs. And another one secured by Nembhard. That's four offensive rebounds on this possession. Middleton going to commit the foul now. And that's just to catch their breath. Goodness gracious. They simply cannot get their hands on a rebound. Oh, it's so soul-sucking. You play lockdown defense, suffocating defense. But it doesn't matter because it never ends. The possession simply never ends. And that will wear you out as a team, particularly in overtime. Inbound pass coming from Halliburton. He gets it now to Turner. Turner gives it now to Halliburton. Back now to the left wing where Nembhard's got it. Driving on Middleton. Gets around him. Now works into the corner. They work the ball around. Halliburton, top of the arc, passed up on the three, moves to his right, fires up a three, and he misses it. Lillard goes tumbling down. There's a fifth offensive rebound. Halliburton, another three, and another miss. Goodness gracious. Off a defensive rebound. Lillard feeds ahead. Middleton gets fouled from behind as he was going up for the dunk. Chris took a hard foul. He is gassed, laying on his back right now. Lost amongst that frenzy was some tremendous defense from one Chris Middleton, who has poured it all out there tonight. He has 37 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists, and I am telling you right now, the defense he's been playing on Pascal Siakam here of late has been nothing short of suffocating. Siakam, who had 36 points in game 1, 37 in game 2, has been held to 17 tonight, and Chris Middleton is no small part of why. His first free throw is good. How he can even summon up the energy to do it is anyone's guess. And the Bucks have retaken the lead 114-113 with a minute 35 to play in overtime. Next free throw is good. So Middleton knocks down a pair, and the Bucks go ahead by two. Here comes Nembhard the other way for Indiana. Top of the arc. Offense is slowed down. Nembhard lost the ball, but it rolls out of bounds. It was off of Beverly's foot. I mean, it was, you can't write this stuff. It just happened to roll right where Beverly was planting his foot. So Indiana gets second life again on what looked to be a near certain turnover. Halliburton will inbound. He gets it off to Siakam. Siakam on the near side, defended by Bobby Portis. Siakam drifts to his left. He's at the free throw line now. Passes out to Nembhard. Back to Siakam. Portis on him now. He tees up a three. That rims in and out. Rebounds on the deck. Who's the foul on? It's going against the Bucks. Indiana's best offense is a missed shot. And, in fact, that's Indiana's only offense here in this overtime because they have simply not been able to hit shots here in overtime, where they are now 1 of 9. 0 of 5 from 3. The Bucks have only attempted 3 shots in overtime. So Indiana's got to get it in. Nembhard does. That last foul was on Middleton. Here's the pass. They're playing it around on the outside. Nembhard going to pull up mid-range jumper. That's pure, and we are tied at 115 with a minute 3 to go. Pacers in this second half have gone ice cold from three, just 3 of 24 here in the second half. Pat Bev the other way, in overtime, all knotted with inside of a minute to go. Looks to his left, nothing doing. Looks to his right, nothing doing. Now we'll pass back to the left. Middleton's got it. 7 seconds to shoot. Chris working on Nesmith again. Fades and fires the shot. Short this time. Rebound picked up off the floor by Halliburton. This could turn into a battle of attrition. And for an older team, that's not a good thing. The young legs of Indiana against the playoff veteran experience of Milwaukee. Halliburton takes it to the left side of the lane. Hands it off to Siakam. He's sealed off by Portis. Back to Halliburton. Now to Siakam. He throws it to the far side. Catch and shoot three. Nesmith drills it from the corner. Right in front of the Bucks bench, and there's a timeout coming from Doc Rivers with 14.4 seconds to go, and the shot clock winding down. These two Charleston, South Carolina kids have put on some kind of show here late in this one. Chris Middleton on one side, Aaron Nesmith on the other, knocking down the go-ahead three, just his first make of this game. He had been 0 for 6 prior to that shot right there. And with 14.4 seconds left, the Bucks find themselves in a all-too-familiar spot. Down by three with time working against them. One timeout remaining for Milwaukee, two for Indiana. In front of a packed house, everybody on their feet here at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. And I mean everybody, from the lower level to the mid-level to the upper level. There is about 1% of this building who is sitting right now. I think Tom Hecker, you and I are that 1%, and of course, not to be outdone, Alan Benjamin also sitting with us. Someone's got to do the work around this place, you know? But I'm telling you, this is playoff basketball at its finest. The Bucks hoping it doesn't go for naught. 118 to 115. The Bucks down by 19 points in the first quarter. Trailed by double digits all the way through to the fourth quarter of this one before tying this game on a last-second three-pointer from Chris Middleton that would send this to overtime. Bucks had a two-point lead but have not been able to secure offensive or defensive rebounds. The Pacers here in overtime, 3 of 11 from the floor. The Bucks have only had 4 shots, 1 of 4. Beverly's going to check out. Connaughton will come in to replace him. So here's the lineup. Connaughton, Middleton, Lillard, Lopez, and Portis. Haven't heard from Dame in some time. We'll see if he factors in. He catches the inbound pass. He's got Nembhard out to defend on him. Drifting to his left, drawing all sorts of attention. Middleton catches the ball, fires up a three, and he banked it in! He has done it again! Cash money! Middleton to the rescue with 6.7 seconds to play in overtime, has knocked down another game-tying three. And yes, folks, the bank is open late here in downtown Indy. What a game. With that three-pointer, Chris Middleton has established a new postseason career high with 42 points in this one. Wow. Sometimes that's all you can say. But wait, there's more. Indiana calls timeout. They will have a chance yet again to prevent this game from going to double overtime. The Pacers only had 1.4 seconds at their disposal last time. Now they will be working with 6.7 seconds here in overtime, with the winner set to take a 2-1 lead in this series. And an overtime frame that has seen Indiana get shot after shot on offensive rebounds, but they have only been able to hit 3 of 11 shots. The Bucks have only attempted 5 shots here in overtime. And with those points, 42 points by Middleton, the most by a Buck in a postseason game outside of the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the great Giannis Antetokounmpo. Another chapter in the Chris Middleton legend. But the work is not done, not by a long shot. The Bucks first need a stop and hope they can get to double overtime. Ball is advanced. Nesmith will send it in. Connaughton to defend. Going to send this to the backcourt where it's handled by Halliburton. Halliburton's going to race into the front court. You know he would love to put his hometown team away. He hits the shot with a foul from the free throw line with 1.6 seconds to go. Well, you are asking an awful lot to ask for lightning to strike not once, not twice, but 3 times. The Bucks do have a timeout, so they will have a chance to advance it. But Tyrese Halliburton, now wearing his brand new black hat in the state of Wisconsin after comments that he made following the last game where he essentially dismissed the crowd at Fiserv Forum for those first 2 games. I'll give him this. This crowd is something here at Gainbridge. He wasn't lying. And he will step to the line for a chance to give his team the 3-point lead. Tell you what, Tyrese Halliburton's going to need tinted windows when he goes back to Wisconsin from now on, the way this thing's going. He hits the free throw. So Bucks will use their last timeout. It's a 3-point lead for the Pacers with 1.6 seconds to go. And the way this game is gone, would any of us be surprised if the Bucks didn't send this to double overtime? Chris Middleton has already hit 2 late threes to send the first one to overtime on a 3-pointer with a 1.4 seconds, the last one with just over 6 seconds, and now what do the Bucks have as a third act? We're going to find out soon enough. What a ball game. The Bucks and the Pacers, two teams that know each other extremely well. Pacers back in the postseason looking for their first home playoff win since 2018. That was against Cleveland some 2,191 days ago. These fans have been clamoring for it. You could feel it in town today. 4 straight home losses, the third longest active losing streak in the NBA for playoff losses, behind 7 for Detroit and 5 for Brooklyn. The Bucks would love nothing more than to make it 5 consecutive losses, but they got some work to do. Connaughton will trigger it in with Lillard, Portis, Lopez, and Middleton again. Defensively, Siakam will defend the inbounder. McConnell, Nembhard, Halliburton, and Nesmith on the court for Indiana. No timeouts. Got to get it in. Middleton, catch and shoot 3. And finally, the pixie dust has run out. He misses it short on a tightly contested 3. And this one comes to a close with the Pacers holding on in a wild 121-118 overtime win, setting the table for game four on Sunday. And I think we just set the table for some kind of an atmosphere come game four. Imagine if Giannis is able to come back, make his return. It's a tough loss, but I'll tell you this. No loss is fun in the playoffs. However, for the Bucks tonight, there was so much resilience and so much fight. I think you can bottle a little some of this up and take it the rest of the way when they looked like they were about to be outmatched. They battled and clawed shorthanded, but not enough in the end tonight. All right, we'll step aside. Coming back, it is the Bucks postgame report as we move along in this one. And a quick reminder that this copyrighted broadcast of the National Basketball Association may not be retransmitted, reproduced, rebroadcasted, or otherwise distributed or used in any form without the express written consent of the NBA. And it is brought to you, as always, by BMO, the official bank of the Bucks. Let's go, Bucks. By Jockey. For nearly 150 years, Jockey has been providing comfort and caring for generations of families, because when you're comfortable, nothing feels better. Shop Jockey.com. By Go Right Way, make us part of your next trip for stress-free service to and from the Milwaukee and Chicago airports. By Valley Sports Wisconsin, the heart of the Milwaukee Bucks fan. By Fredert and the Medical College of Wisconsin. By the U-Line, the shipping and packaging supply specialist. By Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. By Cousin Subs, we believe in better. And by Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. All right, back with the Bucks postgame report following these words on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Hi, John McGivern here. Did you know Network Health Medicare Advantage plans start at $0 a month? And you can get the extra benefits you need, like dental, vision, over-the-counter items, and more? I know, because I'm a member myself. Call 833-7-NETWORK to learn more today. Network Health Medicare Advantage plans include PPO plans with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Network Health Medicare Advantage plans depends on contract renewal.
Just like the Milwaukee Bucks, Jockey is proud to call Wisconsin home. Always family-owned, we embrace the core values of family, community, and tradition. Our values hold us to a higher standard that goes beyond making high-quality underwear and apparel. For nearly 150 years, we've been providing comfort and caring for generations of families. Because when you're comfortable, nothing feels better. Jockey. Take 25% off any Jockey.com purchase with code word BUCKS. Exclusions apply.
We Energies want you to keep this important safety message in mind. Before you start digging, planting, or landscaping on your property, call 811 to have underground utilities marked. Calling 811 at least 3 business days before you plan to dig will help you know what's below and can prevent a hazardous situation. Our representatives will mark the underground utilities on your property for free. So remember, stay safe and call before you dig.
We Energies, people you can trust, energy you can depend on.
The 2024-25 Bucks season promises electrifying performances, unforgettable plays, and even more historic moments. Be part of it by securing your seats now at bucks.com/full. Bucks season ticket members get the best pricing, premier ticket locations, and exclusive benefits. Secure your season membership and lock in your seats for what's sure to be an unforgettable 2024-25 season at Fiserv Forum. This era of Bucks basketball is something special. Get your tickets now at bucks.com/full.
Final score in Indianapolis. The Indiana Pacers take game three and go up 2-1. 121-118 in overtime. We nearly saw double overtime. And look, if you just watched the first 12 minutes of this game, you would not have imagined the Bucks had multiple chances to win this. Down by 19 late in the first quarter, Damian Lillard exits with a leg injury. We didn't know his status. He would return, and this team would look like a much different team in the following 41 minutes of play as we're rejoined by Dave Kane. And, Dave, look, it's a tough loss, but as we were discussing, what you like is the way this team responded and the way that they fought back into this after, as we said, there was a lot of unknowns. Down by 19 on the road, already without Giannis. You didn't know Damian Lillard's status, but this team didn't quit.
No, they didn't. And, you know, it's funny. I know this game was there for him playing shorthanded, and you had an opportunity to go up 2-1, and that stings when you don't get it. But I am left feeling oddly optimistic after this game. I just think that this team battled and showed resolve. They weren't at their best. But defensively, whatever they did in that second half.
Much better.
Well, I mean, Indiana shot 35% from the end of the first half on. 4 of 25 from three. And that wasn't just because they were missing open looks. They were not getting the transition opportunities. They were not getting the open looks. And, this is one of the best games I've seen Chris Middleton play in the 3 years I've been here. I know he's had some big ones, obviously, before, too. But 42 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. And I thought the defense he played on Siakam throughout a good chunk of this was outstanding. It was just a complete game. And then you throw those last-second shots on there. He was simply awesome, given the fact that especially he was questionable to even play this game. It was epic from Chris tonight.
This was, without question, the best we had seen Chris Middleton since 2021, when he had that career-best 40-point playoff game until tonight with 42. In many ways, this series reminds me of the last time prior to the six-year run that the Bucks hadn't gotten out of the first round, and that was that series against the Boston Celtics in 2018. The Bucks were the seventh seed. They were the underdog, but they were the young, plucky team. A lot of people were picking to win that series against the Boston Celtics because Boston was playing that series without Kyrie Irving. It went seven games. The Celtics ultimately won Game 7 on the road. In that series, Chris Middleton had a near identical shot from almost the same spot on the floor to force overtime in Game 1, and those were the types of moments that we got from him tonight, the way Damian Lillard played in the second half as well. There's a lot to like about what we saw in the last 41 minutes of this game. The one thing that I think without question ultimately doomed the Bucks tonight was rebounding. And when you look at what the Pacers were able to do on the offensive glass, 19 of them and scoring 32 points off of those. Granted, some of those just right place at the right time and the way the ball bounced, but that ultimately was what was able to help the Pacers withstand the run of the Bucks.
Yeah, I'll be really interested to see when they watch the film of this game what they think about a lot of those offensive boards, because some of them were bad luck. Some of them were not. Some of them, there's one offensive rebound in particular that stands out to me. Tyrese Halliburton had a couple that I thought were, you just cannot let someone like that go inside and get those rebounds and score on you. And so, some of them are bad luck. But look, when the other team ultimately comes away with what amounted to 19 offensive rebounds, that's too many, especially, and it's not like they shot poorly. They shot 43% for the game, but boy, did they come down to earth. I mean, Indiana at halftime was shooting 51% in this game, hitting 38% of their threes. I mean, you go back to the first quarter, I mean, they were, let's see here, I'm going to pull that up.
Well, they were 60%. Yeah, they were 60% from the floor in the first quarter. Not that hot from three. I think they went 4 of 11.
Yeah, let's see here. I got to dig through all them. I got a zillion papers here. I have to find it. But the job Milwaukee did,
5 of 13 in the first quarter.
Okay, so I don't know. I think there's, this is all how you spin it, and I think Doc Rivers is a smart enough, savvy enough guy to know that you can play up the positives here. He's not going to sugarcoat all of it, but there are some positives to come out of this thing. And, again, if Damian Lillard's shooting the ball well, that changes things too. I mean, he simply didn't have a good shooting game in this one. So, but he did get to the free throw line, and that's a huge thing for this Bucks team. They'll need more of it. But, the other problem, the challenge is everybody's very excited, rightfully so, to hopefully get Giannis back. But even when he comes back, the riddle of Dame and Giannis playing at their best together is something that we really have not seen solved in its entirety yet. And they're going to have to do that on the fly in a tight series if Giannis does, in fact, come back. So there obviously are plenty of crocodiles on the water that the Bucks are going to have to try to navigate their way through. But in down 2-1, you still got to get one to get that home court advantage back. But So anyway, it's gonna set the table for a heck of a game come Sunday night.
Well, that's the thing. Now you got to win three of the next four games here to come out of this series. And I agree with the point of what that means for Damian Lillard and continuing to develop that if Giannis comes back. But that's the big part is I just think you have to approach this series with the mindset you will not have Giannis. If you get him back, great. But you can't pin your hopes on that. So there's a lot to like that you saw tonight. And I think the other thing is we really saw what I think is going to be the rotation for the rest of this series fleshed out. And a lot of that was the impact you got from Andre Jackson Jr. I know a lot of people craving to see Andre Jackson Jr. get some floor time out there. He was impressive tonight with the energy that he gave this team and the spark defensively.
Yeah, and he'll see more playing time for sure. You know, I mean, it's interesting, too, because in this contest, you played a game that had, it's 53 minutes of game time, and Malik Beasley played 7 minutes. This is on the heels of a 10-minute game, which were his fewest minutes in a game this year, and one of just four under 20 minutes. So you wonder for Malik Beasley, he's in a playoff with his fourth different team, and he's yet to start a game in the playoffs. This has been when kind of the wrap on him. But you wonder where it's going from here. But you never know. I mean, he hasn't shot the ball as well. And, you know, defensively, obviously, Pat Bev gives an upgrade there. So we'll see where it goes. But for now, it definitely appears to be trending that way with that rotation shifting, at least for the time being. So we'll watch it play out. But, I really am hopeful Giannis is going to come back, though. I really do.
Look, we're all hopeful. But my point is more just.
Well, they're not going to pin. This team. And
my message isn't for the team. It's for the fans of this isn't a, hey, Giannis is going to come back and save it. I don't think you can carry that approach.
No, especially because of the fact that you don't know what it's going to look like even when he comes back.
If he comes back.
Right. So, anyway, we'll see where it goes. It's going to be a wild adventure, and what has been a wild adventure of a season so far, it only stands to reason it would start this way for the Bucks facing a little bit of adversity here, down 2-1 here on the road in Indiana.
Well, it'll certainly be a big one on Sunday night. I don't know if we can reserve must win just yet, but a big one for the Bucks, who will need to win to avoid a 3-1 hole in this series Sunday night in Indianapolis for game four of this series. Dave, we'll check in with you then.
All right, Justin, we'll buckle up for another good one, presumably on Sunday night. If there any like this one was, forget about it. I'm going to run out of adjectives.
Sunday night, game number four, Dave Kane will have the call of that one, a classic that we were treated to tonight. Arguably the best game played in the postseason so far, and really in a couple of years. This, in many ways, reminded you of those games we saw between the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets, the year the Bucks won the NBA championship in 2021. But unfortunately, this one goes to the Indiana Pacers. And in that regard, very similar to Game 5 of that series, where it felt like you had a chance to take that and come back home with a chance to eliminate the Nets on your home floor in Game 6. That was the Kevin Durant and Jeff Green game that the Nets ultimately took. But the Bucks bounce back for back-to-back wins to close out that series. And now if you can do the same, you put yourself in a very, very good spot, regardless of who's on the floor, whether or not you have Giannis available for any portion of this series. There's a lot to build on that we saw in this game tonight, and especially on the defensive end, really outside of the first quarter, too. The Bucks' offense put their defense in a much better spot. You saw some defensive boosts that you got from players like Andre Jackson Jr. Bucks went 10 deep tonight, but two of those 10 only played 7 and 2 minutes respectively. That was Malik Beasley and Jay Crowder. They rode the starters. Pat Connaughton, A.J. Green, and Andre Jackson Jr. were the guys off the bench to get the most minutes, and it was Andre Jackson Jr. getting the most of those minutes of anybody off the bench. 17 minutes tonight, including playing virtually all of the second quarter. With that, let's head back to Indy and hear from Doc Rivers.
They run it a lot. The only broken part of it, we didn't want him to go back to his right, you know, for the most part, and we needed someone there. So still made a runner, tough shot. And the thing you don't want to do is foul, because now you can still tie the game. So happened to tie it with a three made it a lot tougher. So, but he made a tough shot.
Like, what went into, like, having Andre out there instead of Brooke?
Just speed. You know, wanted more speed, a lot of long rebounds. They were parking Turner way out at the three. We wasn't worried about the offensive rebound on that play. So I don't think Andre had a lot to do with that play, to be honest. So,
second chance points throughout, first half especially, second half was a little better. But
it
in
was.
The overtime, there was yeah. that string of five straight yeah. where that just sort of runs energy, runs possessions, just sort of what did you see in the breakdowns?
Well, I haven't watched the tape yet. So all I saw was them getting the rebound a lot. I thought there were five or six of them. I felt like we were on the inside position, and they still came up with them. Every time the ball hit the floor, they came up with every loose ball tonight. They crushed us. This game came down to 50-50. And they just did a better job of, you know, our guys were fighting. They were trying, couldn't get to loose balls. And, you know, when you shoot better than the other team, but they take, 17 more shots than you, you're not going to win that game. It's hard to win that game, and yet we still could have.
Do you feel like that's something without Giannis that you guys can actually win? Like, just from a size
I don't know if we can win or lose that battle, but we can't get crushed in that battle, you know, Giannis is our best rebounder. You know, and so we don't have him. We still have people who can rebound the ball. I thought a lot of them were long rebounds, though, and we didn't come up with those. And that had nothing to do with Giannis. That is something all of us has to do. I have to watch the tape. It felt like they were just quicker to the ball. You know, I don't know how physical we were on those. But it was one of the key points before the game for us. So,
what a great game, number one.
Overall, I love their effort.
Crowd was tremendous.
Ability to stick it through the game and
not
play through their emotions.
Surprisingly,
early.
We got off to a quick start with all the energy in the building, and then
in the first quarter,
we made some errors during that stretch
and,
where we were playing so well.
Our rhythm.
It probably took some of our momentum away, and so some of it's inexperience. Some
of
it's
a lot of confidence.
Before the game, Chris is
things happen
pressure.
in an NBA game.
We're going to listen to Miss Crossman for next game.
They threw a hellacious game.
All right, that is head coach Doc Rivers. We're getting a little bit of an overlap, so we're treated to Doc Rivers and Rick Carlisle. So our apologies for those technical issues, but really the gist of it, what we touched on at the end, second chance points and offensive rebounding, a big, big issue for this Bucks team, as Doc just said. Obviously, you need to review the film yet. But it seemed like a decent amount of those were long rebounds, and the Pacers just seemingly got every one of those balls that was on the ground, and that ultimately allowed them to keep the Bucks at bay. They were able to push that lead up to three, but never any higher than that. It took a long time for the Bucks to climb that hill, seemingly getting it to a 10 or 11-point margin, and every time they would do that, the Pacers would score a couple of baskets themselves. Once they finally reclaimed the lead, though, those second chance points were a big, big reason. The Pacers never allowed the Bucks to go on any extended run. Pacers had 20 second chance points in the first half on 9 offensive rebounds. They finished the game with 19 offensive rebounds and 32 second chance points. And it's the Indiana Pacers up 2-1 now in this best-of-7 series. We'll get to all of the numbers on the post-game show after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
A cancer diagnosis shouldn't have to mean living without joy or optimism. At the Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Cancer Network, we're pushing to put cancer in its place. By bringing together teams of leading specialists who are pioneering ways to treat every type of cancer, and by unleashing promising new clinical trials, let's push ahead until every cancer diagnosis is a story of survivorship. To learn more about breakthrough cancer care, visit Frederick.com/cancer. Heart disease won't stop us. Diabetes, allergies, cancer. Nothing will keep the Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network from pushing Wisconsin ahead. We're constantly raising the bar for medical excellence and providing more ways to receive it, so you have it for all your health needs. Big and small. Let's push ahead, and we'll make life here as great as it can be. Visit Frater.com to find out how.
This is Bucks OT.
Takes it into the paint, attacks the rack, sends it down with a grown man dunk. Oh, the Greek Freak, he's eaten now.
A final look at the game and a preview of the next matchup on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Justin Garcia back on the BMO Bucks Radio Network. Again, final score in Indiana. The Pacers take game three in this series, 121 to 118 in overtime in the Chris Middleton game. A new playoff career high, 42 points for Chris Middleton. Had the game tying three to force overtime. Another game tying three in the final seconds of overtime. But Tyrese Halliburton would have a three-point play of his own with just under 2 seconds remaining, sending the Pacers to this victory. A lot of highlights to get to. We'll do that momentarily. We should tell you the Bucks did not win the game. They did, however, win the opening tip. In doing so, they've scored another $500 for Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, donated by Sargento. Sargento, the official cheese of the Milwaukee Bucks. As a team, Bucks dished out 20 assists, 41 field goals in this game, 20 of them assisted. As Doc Rivers said, though, the Bucks 41 of 88. They shot 47%. Pacers didn't have a bad shooting performance by any means. It was much different in quarters three through overtime. But Indiana shot 43%. However, they took 17 more field goals than the Bucks. That because of their 19 offensive rebounds. Among those assists, 8 of the 20 came from Damian Lillard. That includes our assist of the game brought to you by Freidert and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network. As a team, Bucks knocked down 10 three-pointers. 4 came from Chris Middleton, 4 from Damian Lillard. 13 made threes for the Pacers, but just 4 came in the second half. The Bucks, meanwhile, got 8 in the second half. A tough shooting night from Aaron Nesmith and Tyrese Halliburton. That duo went a combined 2 of 19 on their threes. Nesmith, though, would save his best for last, as we'll get to in just a moment. All 5 Pacers starters scored in double figures, led by Miles Turner, who got off to a fast start, finished with a team-high 29 points, 9 rebounds, and a steal. 18 from Tyrese Halliburton, who did record a triple-double, 16 assists and 10 rebounds for Halliburton, but 8 of 22 from the field, and as we mentioned, just 1 of 12 on his threes. 17 from Pascal Siakam, a much different story from the first two games of this series, where he scored 36 and 37 respectively. 7 of 17 from the field was Siakam, 9 rebounds and 4 assists. 16 from Andrew Nembhard and 13 from Aaron Nesmith with the 3 biggest points of the game, or 3 of the biggest points of the game. They had 15 off the bench from Obi Toppin, so all told 6 double-digit scores for the Pacers. T.J. McConnell scored 7, while Ben Shepherd knocked down a 3 and finished with 6 points. As for the Bucks, led by Chris Middleton, 42 points, a new playoff career high, 10 rebounds and 5 assists on 16 of 29 shooting. Damian Lillard, 28 points, 12 of 12 at the free throw line, 6 of 20 from the floor, and a team-high 8 assists. Bobby Portis had a tough start to this game, but finished with 17 points and 18 rebounds. Brooke Lopez with 14 points in this game. 0 of 2 on his three-point attempts was Lopez. All 14 of his points came in the paint. And Pat Beverly with 11 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. Bucks bench only contributed 6 points, 4 from A.J. Green and 2 from Andre Jackson Jr. But again, this one goes to the Pacers, who jumped out to a 19-point lead, built up that lead to near 20 right as Damian Lillard exited the game with a leg injury. Weren't sure what it was. Wasn't even sure, we weren't sure, if Damian Lillard would be able to return while the Bucks were down 19. So if you tuned out in the first quarter, you missed on a classic postseason game. Chris Middleton and this Bucks defense brought them right back in it. Chris Middleton single-handedly gave them as many chances as he could with those two game-tying threes. But ultimately, the Indiana Pacers able to hold off the Bucks and take a 2-games-to-1 advantage in this best of seven series. We'll get to the play of the game after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel, white-tailed deer,